Today is the Sunday within the octave of the Nativity, and these are the announcements for today. There will be no blessing of articles after Mass today, no benediction this evening. Tomorrow, Monday, January 1st, is the octave day of the Nativity of our Lord. It is a holy day of obligation. Therefore, all Catholics are seriously bound to assist at Mass if possible on that day. There will be a low Mass for those with special needs at 7:30 a.m., and then there will be second low Mass at 9 a.m., and there will be no benediction that day. Cleaning of the chapel will be this Tuesday, not Monday, but this Tuesday after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. There will be no Holy Hour this week and no First Friday devotions. The Masses for First Friday will be 7:20 and 8:30 a.m. And for Saturday, the Masses will be 7:20 and 8:30 a.m. with confessions after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. The normal confession schedule will be resumed this Saturday and Sunday. Confessions are available anytime for those who request an appointment. Next Sunday, January 7th, is the Feast of the Holy Family, our patronal feast. There will be a low Mass for those with special needs at 7:30 a.m., and then there will be a solemn Mass at 9 a.m. with benediction of the Blessed Sacrament in the evening at 6 p.m. So just to repeat all that, no blessing of articles or benediction today. Tomorrow, Monday, Holy Day of Obligation, all Catholics are seriously bound to attend Mass on that day. There will be a low Mass at 7:30 for those with special needs, and then the regular low Mass at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Cleaning of the chapel will be Tuesday after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. There will be no Holy Hour or First Friday devotions this week. The Mass times for First Friday will be 7:20 and 8:30, and for Saturday, 7:20 and 8:30 for the Masses with confessions after the 8:30 Mass. The normal confession schedule will be resumed this Saturday and Sunday, and you can always request an appointment. And then this coming Sunday is the Feast of the Holy Family. Low Mass at 7:20 for those who have to attend it for some reason, and then the solemn Mass for everyone else at 9 a.m., and benediction that evening at 6 p.m. The feasts for this week: Monday, of course, is the octave day of the Nativity. Tuesday is the Feast of the Most Holy Name of Jesus. And although it's not on the universal calendar, it's also the Feast of the Infant Jesus of Prague. Friday, January 5th, the Feast of St. Telesphorus. And Saturday, January 6th, is the Epiphany of our Lord. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Brethren, as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is master of all. But he is under guardians and stewards until the time set forth by his father. So we too, when we were children, were enslaved under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that he is no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, an heir also through God. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke chapter 2, verses 33 to 40. At that time, Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were marveling at the things spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and for the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be contradicted, and thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There was also Anna, a prophetess, daughter of Phineal, of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her maidenhood, and by herself as a widow for 84 years. She never left the temple, with fasting and prayers, worshiping night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give praise to the Lord, and spoke of him to all who were awaiting the redemption of Israel. And when they had fulfilled all things prescribed in the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, into their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was full of wisdom and of grace of God, and the grace of God was upon him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I just want to read this quote from a liturgist speaking about this passage of the Gospel where Simeon refers to Christ as a sign of contradiction, the cause of the rise and fall of many in Israel. And this is what this liturgist says. This was a prophecy that Jesus Christ, his life, works, teaching, and institutions should be the object of continual contradiction on the part of sensual and worldly wisdom. It was fulfilled in the blasphemies and persecutions of the Jews and Gentiles, and is confirmed by infidels of all ages, as well as by those Christians who, as Saint Bernard says, contradict his humility by their pride, his poverty by their avarice, his fasting by their intemperance, his purity by their impurity, his zeal by their sloth, thus proclaiming him with their lips, but denying him by their deeds. They are not faithful and sincere towards Jesus, and do not love him, for they do not obey his holy will. They are Christians only in name, of whom Christ is not the resurrection, but the fall. For they are yet slaves of sin. This is how the Son of God was treated. And we're going to continue speaking about that a little bit more. But first, I'm going to explain a little bit about this epistle. St. Paul, in this epistle to the Galatians, speaks about the heirs of the kingdom, those who are destined to inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, when they are not of age yet, when they are still children, they are slaves. And what he's doing is he's speaking about, and he refers to it later, said, we ourselves as children were slaves. He's speaking about the chosen people of old, the Hebrews. They were children of the promise. But they were still slaves in the sense that they were slaves not only to the concupiscence of the world, because they lacked the graces provided by the church, but they were also slaves to the law. That law which acted like a steward and a guardian, constantly protecting them from the world. Then he said, the time of their maturity came. On Christmas Day. Now they were able to inherit the kingdom. Because by the very promise of Christmas, they look forward to the redemption when the gates of heaven would be opened to them. No longer slaves to the law, but now with the Spirit of our Lord, they could say, Abba, Father, with great familiarity and love, call upon the name of God. So you could say with that sign of contradiction, that juxtaposition between those who choose to follow God and those who choose to reject him, this is the reward for those who follow him. They inherit the kingdom. Because Christ placed himself under the bondage of the law, as we hear in the gospel. They fulfilled all the dictates of the law, as we hear tomorrow with the circumcision. They followed all the dictates of the Mosaic law so that he would place himself in the same position as us and would redeem us. By lowering himself to our level, he could lift us up to the divine. St. Alphonsus Liguori, he talks about this great intimacy that is offered to us by God. One of the amazing examples of that would be on Tuesday, the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. What a contradiction of the old law. In the old law, the chosen people were not even able to utter the name of God. And we recite it all the time, call upon it all the time. The name of Jesus Christ, the name of God. Saint Jerome says, how is this possible that God, infinitely beyond our grasp, has not only become man, but become our brother and our friend? Saint Jerome said, friendship makes friends equal. What a mystery. St. Alphonsus Liguori continuing this discussion about this contradiction, this sign of contradiction. He says, look at all the creatures of the world. Every brute animal, every crawling insect and filthy little rodent, every poisonous serpent, God loves them all. Because he created them all and sustains them in their existence. But he said, God, so to speak, is forced to hate the sinner. Not because it is his desire, but because it is the sinner's desire. Christ had said, if you observe my commandments, if you follow my commandments, you will be my friend. But as the Psalms say, thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. And the Book of Wisdom says, but to God the sinner and his sin are hateful alike. But the choice is ours. And winning this love, winning this friendship with God, is so easy. So easy that it is even exemplified in his brute animals. Because why does God love all these creatures? Because they follow his will. God did not give them a free will. So they follow it by necessity. They follow their God-given instincts. But just like St. Francis of Assisi, we can take an example from these created things that we see around us in the world. I remember when I was young, when we would drive up to Mass on Sunday, we would drive by the Arkansas River. And every once in a while, you would see the product of these beavers in the river working away. It's a marvelous thing to see. These beavers work all day long, chewing down trees, trimming off the branches, building dams, following their instincts. But why do they do this? They do it to stop the flow of the river by creating a dam and to create a little lake there which serves as a moat around their home. What if we did what they do? How pleasing to God would it be if we labored throughout our day? Because that river of God's grace is constantly flowing by us. What if we did what we could to stop some of those graces, to keep them for ourselves? And through our hard work and labor, our prayers and spiritual works, we were able to build a moat around ourselves to defend us against the onslaught of the devil, seeking whom he may devour, that lurks on the shoreline. We were shown a beehive recently, another marvel of nature. And you see the great order that these bees work in their hive. And all the labor they put in during spring and summer to collect honey to feed themselves and to offer to their queen during the dark and cold months of winter. No doubt God is pleased to see them do this. How much more pleased would he be to see us do this? To see us put our houses in order. To see us labor during those times of prosperity so that we may be sustained during the times of aridity and dryness. To have a surplus of graces that we can offer to others. Where we see these beautiful birds outside our window eating our birdseed. More now than ever when it's cold. And they are truly beautiful. So they have these great displays of feathers and these complex nests that they build in order to attract a mate and to propagate. What about us? Could we not use our works and our words and our example to propagate the faith? To let our good works shine before men, as our Lord said? It is very easy to maintain this friendship with God. Simple, you could say. Because just as all these creatures fulfill the end that they were created for, we would be doing the same thing. And God has given us time to do it. We are now on the cusp of a new year. It is only when we live in a disordered manner that we separate ourselves from God. If we live the way we are created to live, we are his closest friends, going back to that sign of contradiction. The Council of Trent says, though Christ died for all, yet not all receive the benefits of his death. And St. Augustine says, the blood of thy Lord is given for thee, if thou wilt. If thou wilt not, it is not given to thee. So the choice is in our hands. Because along with his created nature that he gave us, as part of our nature, he gave us a free will. So as people enter into the new year in the secular world, they always have these great aspirations, right? What about us? This could be the moment when we finally start putting aside our deep-rooted faults and attachments. And this is the spirit of Christmas. You see, with these great feasts, it's as if Holy Mother Church doesn't want to stop celebrating. Doesn't want to let them go. So she holds on for a whole octave afterwards, which will be completed tomorrow. And so we see the infant in the manger. And the lesson that it's teaching us is that we must make room for him. Is our heart and our mind so filled with worldly concerns that just like the inn that had no room for our Lord, we have to send him on? God forbid. This is the final words from that same liturgist. He says, today is the last Sunday of the year. Ponder with care on the truths and doctrines which the Holy Church has laid before thee in the epistles and gospels. Thank God with thy whole heart for the great favors and benefits which thou hast received in the incarnation and the birth of Jesus Christ. Examine thyself, whether thy faith has been living and efficient, that thou mayest have the hope of being a child and heir of God. Ask thyself, during the past year, Christ has been my fall or my resurrection? Hast thou confessed in heart and deed, or hast thou been a Christian only in name? With such exercises and examinations, occupy thy mind until the new year, that thou mayest be prepared to begin it worthily. May God bless you.